You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm KFSK's news director, Joe Vicnicki. Today is Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. This is a special radio call-in show on the only ballot question that voters will be deciding during the October 4th borough election. For the next hour or so here, we will be taking your phone calls and debating the issue with a few guests that are joining me in the studio today. Welcome to you all. I have with me Grant Trask and Doc Lopez, who are supporters of the prohibition side of things. Gary Morgan, who is a potential business owner for a marijuana grow business outside of downtown Petersburg, as well as two borough assembly members, Jay Stanton Greger and Eric Castro, who have been involved in this issue, I think, pretty much from the get-go of when it was looked at from the borough assembly standpoint of things. So welcome to you all. Thank you very much for coming in today. A reminder to our listeners, our phone number is 772-3808. If you're outside of town, you can put an 888 in front of that for a toll-free call, 1-888-772-3808. And we'd love to hear from you about your opinions on this issue. Why are you voting? How you're voting? Do you know how you're voting yet? And hopefully we can answer some questions for you today and clear up any concerns you have about this question. And we would love to have your call, so call in. Remember, this is a live call-in show on Wednesday, the 14th of September. We will be rebroadcasting it again Thursday night at 6:30 on the 15th of September, and you can also find it on our website, kfsk.org, after the show. So with that said, I want to dive in and just read the ballot initiative before we get going here, just so people know what they're going to be seeing on the local election ballot. Just one question that voters will decide. Proposition 1, it reads, shall the Petersburg Borough adopt a local option to prohibit the sale and importation for sale of marijuana and any marijuana product, and the operation of any marijuana establishment, including all of the following license types: retail marijuana store, marijuana cultivation facility, marijuana product manufacturing facility, and marijuana testing facility. Now, a yes vote on this would be a vote for prohibition and a ban on importation. So again, if you're voting yes, that means you would rather not see any commercial sales of marijuana in the borough or any importation, legal importation of marijuana into the borough. And a no vote on this would keep the status quo, which at the moment does allow for commercial sales in the borough as well as importation. So again, a yes vote would be in support of a ban borough-wide. That's one thing I wanted to highlight. This is not just service area 1. This would be borough-wide, and a no vote on this would keep the status quo, which does allow for the commercial sales of marijuana in the borough as well as importation. With that said, let's dive into our guests. Two of them here have been involved in, I think, gathering signatures to get this on the ballot. Grant, you were pretty heavily involved in that. Can you talk a little bit about your reasoning for why you wanted to see this on the ballot?
Yes, I'm glad that I'm able to get involved in this. I think it was became aware even several years ago the fact that drugs are really an important thing in our culture, in our society, and when we know more and more about it here happening within our community, it's a real huge problem. So I weighed in on this about 3 months ago when I wrote a letter to the editor. And I was comparing alcohol and tobacco and marijuana use along with other drugs. And I felt that we were headed the wrong way at the borough assembly when it looked as though, okay, this is just a business proposition and not necessarily a moral and a health issue. And so I'm more on the side where I really feel that this is a about personal choice and us living a healthy life and a healthy lifestyle on a personal basis, as well as a public health issue. As we know, and I had put it into my letter long ago, the drug situation in the United States is epidemic, and it's a huge crisis. And what has been happening over the years will likely happen even in our community the more and more we embrace drug use. So that's my basis here, public health, personal choice.
Okay. Doc Lopez, maybe we can grab that microphone and bring it a little bit closer to you. You were also up in front of the Borough Assembly while they were debating the local ordinance. You are supporting a prohibition. Why are you interested in that?
Well, I think it's important. As I was listening to the Assembly and how the dynamics were working and listening to public input, I saw that there was an opinion out there that wasn't in agreement with 6 out of 7 of the Assembly members. And it was important. Everybody should be heard. I felt it was important enough to become involved. In life, you fight, there's a lot of fights to fight. You have to pick and choose which ones you're going to champion, and only the ones that are worth it, win, lose, or draw. And so this one was worth it to me. I want to merely establish why we should not have commercial cultivation and sales in Petersburg, and the reasons surrounding that. I want the public to have the opportunity to vote whether or not they do or do not want this. There are a lot of other things involved concerning the level of drugs, its use, lots of dynamics that are involved, but this is particularly focused on whether or not we want those commercial endeavors in Petersburg.
Okay. Let's swing that microphone over to Gary as well. So Gary Morgan is one of the two people in town or in the area who has applied for a marijuana license with the state. Gary, you're looking at a grow operation out by Papke's Landing, I believe. Can you talk a little bit about what you have planned and what your business would be like?
Sure. I have a limited cultivation license, which is just completed the paperwork on it. I have a foundation that I'm getting ready to pour. It's a small building. It's I think 25 by 26 square feet. It's kind of a small version of a high-tech grow facility. It's going to be a sealed room, about 24,000 watts of lighting, and it'll be completely controlled. A sealed environment means you can have CO2 supplementation, and I'm basically going to, my plan is to grow large plants, not in a large square footage, but to grow plants that will yield in a small space. So,
All indoors?
All indoors.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you have any idea about the volume of what you would be putting out, how much pot a year? Or?
My hope is it'll be somewhere between 24 and 48 pounds per harvest, approximately 4 harvests, potentially 6 in a year. I don't expect that in the first year.
Okay. So you have put some time and effort into getting or planning for this business and doing work to prep for it. Have you stopped at this point with this vote coming up, or where are you with that?
Yes, I have. Things have kind of slowed down considerably from my original schedule. So I've kind of waited. I'm kind of waiting on this opt-out. It's important that I don't spend money fruitlessly at this point. So I don't have unlimited funds. So.
And why did you first get into looking at that as a business?
To make a long story short, I kind of watched the first legalization in Colorado. And at the time, it was an idea that was brought to me. At the time, I lived in Chicago. I was told I should sell everything I had and move to Colorado and start a grow operation. I had a great job at the time as electrical superintendent for Kiewit. Traveled around the country a lot. That just seemed absurd to me. Too risky. Just not something that I was interested in. Over the last 2 years, I've seen the legal marijuana business kind of flourish, and it's kind of been spreading. Both medical states and recreational states have continually being challenged each election, and there's more and more states that are getting involved. And when I decided to move to Alaska, I found out that, you know, it had already been approved here, and it kind of wiggled around in my mind for a while, and then I thought, you know, this might be something I can do. I'm an electrician. I know all about automation. Had the skills to make this work. Had a lot of business experience, and I thought, it might be something I could do well at.
Okay. And does it look like it can pencil out, assuming voters approve commercial sales to keep that going? Are you able to have a business that will make money or survive?
Sure. At this point, it's kind of a risky business to get into, and it's definitely not the easiest business to start. It's actually probably one of the most difficult businesses to start in the United States. But there is, a pretty decent profit margin. You got to kind of weigh the risks and the profit margin at times. I think things will change very quickly over the next 4 or 5 years, depending on, you know, our next election for president, kind of see where things kind of go from there. But this could be a business that lasts 1 year. It could be a business that lasts 5 years. There's a lot of federal things that can really change the entire industry. So it's one where you can't really look long term as a business. You kind of look year by year.
And there's still a lot of unknowns, including at the borough assembly level. They're talking about a possible excise tax on whatever you would grow.
Correct.
So I'm not able to do the math that quick, but with that grow amount that you put out, how much in excise tax would you be paying to the borough on, I think it's a $25 an ounce. Have you penciled all that out? Or?
That's approximately, I think, $400 a pound.
Okay.
So if you had 24 pounds, my minimum estimate, if you do the math, I think that's, around $20,000? I'm not good at math in my head either.
I'm not sure either. I'll have to go
That's
and
about
go back
20.
Into it. Okay.
Let's see. 800, 400 times, that's about maybe 16,000 or so per harvest. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're about right.
Doc,
let's get you a microphone there. Let's swing that one over if you would.
I wanted to point out the Alaska statute states that it'll be $50 an ounce must be paid as an excise tax.
That's the state tax?
That is the state tax.
State tax, okay. But they're also talking at a local level of a borough tax as well. So you're looking at least two taxes on your product.
Right. I think when I figured it all up, the amount of taxes I'll pay to the state, local, and federal will be approximately 56% of all earnings.
And you also mentioned your electrical background. You will be using a lot of electricity for growing indoors, I imagine.
Yes. My plan in this kind of business, you have to kind of grow quantity. It's just not worth it when you pencil it out in small quantities. So you really have to grow a larger quantity. My plan is a year, maybe two, depending on how things go, if I'm allowed to do this, is to expand. And the more you can create, the more you can yield, the more profit there is in the business. And I think early on, there's going to be a lot of competition. And I think in the next couple of years, if this does go through, I think you'll see a lot of consolidation. So it'll be important to grow and be able to capture market share. If you don't, you'll end up going out of business, or likely someone will come along with a check and take over your business.
Okay. Let's get a couple of the borough assembly members here on the microphone and start with Jay Stanton Greger. You were chair of a committee that started looking at the marijuana question way back after the vote passed in 2014, formed a committee here in the borough to look at how to regulate marijuana businesses. This issue of prohibition didn't really get any feet or get any traction with that committee from what I saw in those committee meetings. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Good question. During the first committee meeting, we went around, kind of introduced ourselves, more of a meet and greet because we had such a variety of people commenting on the issue. And in the committee, several of us have laughed about it. It's the one thing we agreed upon unanimously. No member of that committee wanted to opt out. Everyone said no. It was not if we were going to have commercial sales, but how to make it happen. And just want to touch on something that Mr. Trask said. I thought he raised a really good point about him being involved on the issue because of safety. A point of clarification is, even if this opt-out passes, marijuana is still legal in Petersburg. We're not removing marijuana from Petersburg by having licensed facilities and licensed operations. We're, from a borough perspective, I think we're really trying to work on increasing safety for the members of this community at this point.
Okay, great. Grant, why should people support a prohibition? Let's get that microphone in front of you.
I think that it's a market-driven question. Right now, I think it's acknowledged that marijuana has been in use in Petersburg for every living person's memory, and it's on the increase. And so, I guess I'm on the side that that says there's risk, and this is a risk that is well documented in places where. Where marijuana has been legalized and has been in use legally. We're not inventing the wheel here in Petersburg. If anything, we're really kind of more on the tail end of this explosion of drug use. And so I guess I would rather be on the preventive medicine side rather than on the what happens when history plays itself out more here in Petersburg and we find even increased drug use and then the repercussions that that follow after that, which are public health, personal health, deterioration of quality of life, mental things that are really important. And this evidence is out there. And so I guess I feel that people in Petersburg, if they're an informed public, and we try to be factual about this rather than just opinion, and so there is information out there that is telling about the risks of marijuana, which history has confirmed. And I just don't want it to be even stronger here in Petersburg, bad enough that we've had it for 50 and 60 years. I don't want us to embrace and endorse the use of marijuana.
So let's delve into that. Where do you get your evidence?
Well, I was reading about marijuana and medical marijuana here, first of all, in the Consumer Reports here, the June issue. And it was telling about the little bit of history there just in a short phrase. But also, I have a book here, and it's called Going to Pot. And it is the subtitle is Why the Rush to Legalize Marijuana is Harming America. And it is basically my stance that there is always a response when we do things. We don't exist in a void. What we do as individuals always has repercussions on those near us. And just as we have learned the sad story about tobacco use with all the people that tobacco has killed off, and we also know the experience from alcohol, why should we endorse a third legal drug? And, the evidence is there that this is bad for us. And so I really feel that individuals in Petersburg should examine their minds and inform themselves about what the marijuana industry is about now. It's not the same thing as in the 1960s and 1970s. It's very high on THC. Drug use has gone up. Evidence is out there in California, in Washington, in Oregon, of other Americans who have suffered a whole lot of loss. And we can't just endorse and ignore this evidence. We are human bodies here too, and each of us should have an individual choice on what we do.
Okay.
Can I respond to that bit of evidence?
Sure. Let me pass it on to Doc just a moment here, and then we'll send it over to Jay.
Let Jay go ahead so he doesn't lose his train of thought.
Okay, sure.
You okay?
I'm patient, man.
Okay, because I'm going to speak for a moment.
Take your time.
Wanted to bring up that I found that the annual drug report on the value of marijuana in the North Pole area per ounce is $277. In Anchorage and Juneau, the cost for an ounce of marijuana is $700. Now, this is the criminal element. And in Fairbanks and Kenai, it's $840. Now, we talk about the underground black market. Well, black market is such a nice word. It's a criminal element that exists. And the ability for a person to grow their own supply should diminish the black market and underground, as the person who used to purchase it illegally can now grow it on their own. They can grow up to 6 plants, 3 mature ones. This is a lot of product for an individual to have. A commercial will not result on the underground and black market diminishing, as the price for commercial due to the overhead taxation will be above what a person can purchase illegally. It will be driven. When we put a cap on a price of marijuana, it's going to cost to grow the marijuana. Then there's going to be an excise tax on that marijuana. There's going to be an overhead for having that facility, for running it, for the electrical power, for monitoring it, for, I guess, the CO2. There's special conditions to grow it. This drives up the price. Then that person has to sell it at a profit to a retailer because they're not. And then the retailer has to add to that price. Now, you have 2 excise taxes now that I'm hearing that accumulate to $75 an ounce. And he was talking about maybe on a light season, 200 pounds. That's each one of those pounds, 16 ounces. That's a lot of money. That's tens of thousands of dollars for processing. Now, if we drive this cost continually up, we are helping to develop an underground that would want to sell and cut that cost. Yes, it'll be illegal, but everybody wants a deal. Nobody wants to pay the premium price. So they will be attracted to those people who have smaller grows that sell black market. And so by us putting a top line price on what marijuana is valued at, they have something to compare to that'll undercut it. Whereas if everybody grew their own marijuana and we didn't have commercial cultivation, it would drive that down. Personal use of marijuana, too. Right after it was legalized, my daughter was on the ferry, and people started smoking pot on the ferry, and they were having a heck of a time chasing people down, telling them they can't do it. You cannot smoke marijuana in public. It's legal. It's allowed. You're allowed to have it, and you can consume it privately in your homes. And there are no public places to consume it. Now, this commercial sales is going to not encourage locals to buy it because they're going to start growing their own. They're going to save that money. If I was a marijuana user, I would grow my own and save myself the high cost of sold marijuana. So who's going to be attracted to it? Visitors, tourists are going to be buyers. Where are they going to consume it? They don't have a place to live. They don't have a private place. They're going to consume it in public areas. So this is going to have an effect, a devastating effect, on the landscape of our little community and what we want it to be made up. It's going to exemplify what we choose to present to our families, to our children. And
can I get a follow-up question? Before I get to Jay, someone had emailed me. Chelsea Tremblay had asked a question, and it's kind of along this line of thinking. You were talking about the cost and the above board market and the black market, or whatever you want to call them. Chelsea had asked, any products sold or grown in commercial facilities have to be tested for safety and strength of the product before it goes to the consumer. The initiative would eliminate these elements of safety, which is one reason why I, Chelsea Tremblay, will be voting no. So her question for the yes campaign is, why do you want to ban regulated businesses in favor of supporting the black market? I'll put that to either Doc or Grant.
It would be because people have a tendency to go for the best deal. We don't shop at Saks. We shop at Walmart and Home Depot and Costco. Now, maybe not everybody does, but most people. We try to get the most value we can for a dollar. And we're going to be driven by that. That it's safe and chemically tested is just another cost to add that I hadn't mentioned. And people have been buying marijuana untested for more years than I can.
Decades.
Yes, decades.
Yeah. And Grant, if you could make a quick point, we've got Jay waiting in, as well as a caller, too. So.
Yeah, my point is that you can't regulate human behavior, and that's what Doc is trying to point out. And history shows us. I think we can learn from what has happened to other people at other places, and why won't it repeat itself here, both on the, a market-driven product and the undercutting of price by the black market. I think that the man who solicited me on July 4th in my yard, he probably had a marijuana card as he got on the plane in California. And so he was going to make some money, and he asked me, he said, Grant, or said, he didn't call me by name, but he said, do you smoke weed? And I said, I don't smoke weed. And he said, well, I've got weed here that's cheaper and it's better than what you have for sale here in Petersburg, and I'll give you a free sample. That's speaking about human behavior, and our assembly is speaking about regulation and product this and that. And on Chelsea's point, this could very well have been a marijuana product that he was carrying that had been approved by California growers, marijuana growers. So we can't say that it's going to be a ban on growers.
Okay. Thanks. Jay, thanks for waiting patiently. You had points to make.
Yeah, there's a lot there for sure. I'm going to back up, and Grant mentioned the book, Going to Pot. And for anyone who has not read it or perused it, I highly encourage you to. It's by William Bennett and Robert A. White. The reality, I think one of the challenges for myself on this issue is that there's been lots of misinformation, lots of fear. I think lots of not even wanting to try to end the black market. I think we have to try. But in terms of the misinformation, I encourage anyone to seek out scholarly peer-reviewed journals. What you'll find from Mr. Bennett's book is that it is full of fear and misinformation. It has been completely debunked. I'll give you one quick and easy citation for anyone at home if you want to look it up. Feel free to go to Forbes magazine, February 5th, 2015, Jacob Solem. And I'll quote, the book Going to Pot is a rambling, repetitive, self-contradicting hodgepodge of scare stories, misleading comparisons, unsupported generalizations, and decontextualized research results. And it's very hard, like Grant was saying, to find good research. And it wasn't easy finding some of that. That's a good gist of some of that. Tying into the other thing of Chelsea's question, it really boils down to a question I have for both Doc and Grant, then. Which do you like less, marijuana or illegal drug dealers? That's really the nuts and bolts of it right there. Legal marijuana businesses or illegal drug dealers. We're really kind of choosing between one or the other.
Can we hold that question a moment? There's a caller who's waiting on the line. We'll get back to it, I'm sure. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I wanted to address bringing in pot. I thought that it was still against federal regulations to bring marijuana in by air, boat, or the U.S. Post Office. Can you answer if that's still the case?
And Gary Morgan's raising his hand. I think he might know something about that. Go ahead, Gary.
Sure. I'd like to address this. This comes up quite often. A lot of people ask me the same question. Federally, it's illegal to grow marijuana even in your house. Right now, there's a coal memorandum that's out there that has guidelines for state-licensed marijuana how it should operate in a state. As long as you follow those guidelines, the federal government has said that they will not charge legal businesses as long as they follow the rules. Yes, it's federally illegal to transport by plane. It's federally legal to transport by boat. However, I expect that there's going to be some leniency there. as far as what we can do. I do not plan on selling the majority of what I grow on the island. It just doesn't have the population to support what I plan to grow. I expect we're going to be finding ways, and once the business starts, getting off the ground, I think you're going to find that it's going to be moving by plane, boat, and, postal service. I've already been told that when it comes to testing, U.S. Postal Service. Just to get it out there.
Can you answer another question, too, that was brought up, too, about personal growing? How easy or difficult is it to grow pot?
It's a weed, so it's not difficult to grow. You can plant it outdoors. Certain ones up here can do well during certain seasons. But mostly up here, it would be indoor grow unless you have a short season summer grow in greenhouses and that sort of thing. It's if you want a high yield, then it involves a lot more. And that's what you're doing in a commercial scale. You're improving methods. You're having everything from temperature to humidity to lighting to sealing the environment from fungus, spores, mold, diseases, that sort of thing. So it gets more difficult once you're trying to grow and high yield. It gets much more technical.
All right, it looks like we have callers lined up, and I'll get them on the phone here. And while we're doing that, the question was put out there by Jay. What do you want more, black market versus regulated industry? Am I remembering that right? Throw that over to Doc, maybe.
Yes, that sounds like the question. It sounds very simplistic when Jay says thank you. But ultimately, what we have here is an opportunity to prevent a top-line price being established and – understand that because everyone can grow marijuana, it's going to drive away that criminal element because people can give marijuana up to an ounce to someone else. They can give them up to six plants. It can be a social thing, which I think was the intent, is to decriminalize it and have people interact as they grow different plants and different products like gardeners. It's going to be better for people to have access, and the criminal element is going to flutter away, but not if we put a top market price and a value on it. And then again, talking to, is it Gary?
Gary,
I find it interesting that you're going to produce this product and you're going to sell most of it outside of the Petersburg borough. But you yourself said you can't ship it by mail, by boat, or by aircraft. So unless they change federal law, wouldn't that still be in existence?
Well, the Justice Department has come out and said in another memo that they're not going to pursue any enforcement of state legalized businesses and transportation.
And
so it still has to be tested, and I'm not going to be the first one. I don't think I'm a little behind the schedule as far as other Southeast growers, but I think we'll find out exactly what that means and what it looks like soon.
And speaking to the head of the state's Marijuana Control Board a couple months ago, I did an interview with her. She believed that it would be possible to send over the airlines or otherwise a tested, packaged, and labeled product according to state guidelines. She thought that would be able to go into place even with the federal laws that are in place now. So. But I think it's something that still remains to be seen. Grant?
Yes, I'd like to respond to Jay's and Cynthia's question. You know, the fact that Cynthia begs the question about which would you, again, I would say what Doc is saying. It's not that simple. This is controversial because there are questions within the questions. And again, just because I cite from a person in his book, that does not mean that we have to regard the evidence that is in the book as something that you can just blow off. So that's why I'm urging the public to be informed, because I can quote from the book. You've got the American Lung Association. You've got an outfit called the National Institute of Health. You've got all kinds of studies, university studies, might be hodgepodge, but the theme is that. Or else, also, I'll quote from the book here on page 25. If you want to just check out one particular subject about what cannabis does, and you Google marijuana and psychosis, and this is Jay's business. He's in the counseling business. And so he's probably read this here, too. It says, cannabis may increase stroke risk. Legalizing of marijuana raises health concern. Scientists warn of cannabis linked to heart attacks. Wake-up call for teen pot smokers. Study links cannabis use to with psychosis. Marijuana use linked to psychosis symptoms or teenagers. A risk gene for cannabis psychosis. The cannabis psychosis link. Marijuana linked to psychosis in teens. Doctors, marijuana triggers psychosis. This is only one subject of the whole controversy that we're in. It's just marijuana and psychosis. So we can't say that it's all one thing. This is a whole lot of information.
But Grant, that's a complete falsehood in terms of that research. Marijuana is not creating the psychosis that you're talking about. Just because we say things don't necessarily mean they're true.
Okay. Can we get a couple callers on the line here? They're waiting patiently, too, and we can definitely come back to that topic. Caller on line one, thanks for being patient. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello, yes. I have a question for Grant. Sir, why do you want to prohibit medical marijuana from patients who seek medical treatment and its value? When 23 states have medical marijuana programs and our own federal government since 2012 at a university in Mississippi have been researching and documenting treatment value, that's my question to you. Why do you want to prohibit medical marijuana from patients?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Easy question. I am not prohibiting medical marijuana. I think Joe pointed this out at the beginning of this program. This is not about medical marijuana. This is about recreational marijuana. And we've had medical marijuana on the books in Alaska for years. And I know people who use medical marijuana, and I can support that. So I am not prohibiting medical marijuana.
Okay. To follow up, though, we haven't had Eric in on this discussion either, but go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, well, Grant, on that note right there, if you are prohibiting the commercial sale of marijuana in this town, how would you say that those medical marijuana patients would be able to receive legally their...
You would have to ask this of those people who are using that. I don't know how they get it. I have spoken to a druggist, and she doesn't know how they get it. Doctors can't prescribe medical marijuana, but in California, medical marijuana is given out all over the place with 5,000 dispensaries. And so it's been given out an awful lot.
Right now, it's through illegal sales, I think.
Correct. Right. I'd like to point out again what I'd said concerning medical marijuana. It will be commonplace. People who want marijuana can get it. They can get it from their friends if they're not growing it themselves. They don't have to go to a black market. An ounce of marijuana can be given from one person to another as long as there's no remuneration. And they can give them up to 6 plants. So the people in need of marijuana are a minutia, a small portion of the users, but they have access and they have friends. They can grow their own or they can get it from friends. It's from what I've seen, marijuana users, they are not selfish or money motivated individuals. They're usually friendly, warm people, good citizens, and I don't see them allowing someone who is in need of it to suffer with its loss.
Okay, let's get a couple more callers. I know Gary wants to talk here. Caller on line two, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. This is Bev. To say that regulation will do away or reduce the black market or the illegal use is ludicrous. Again, having the plants, everybody can grow their own plants and consume it in their home, that will reduce it. But having a more expensive product being sold commercially because of all the overhead and taxes add to it is not going to make it a palatable price for the individual. That will not have an effect, I do not believe, on the black market because it's going to be over what they can get it from somebody else. So that I don't see how that's going to affect it whatsoever.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Let's throw it over to Gary. You had a point to make.
Yeah, I'd like to first address that last caller. From a commercial standpoint, I can grow it in quantity for a lot cheaper. I can grow, you know, almost unlimited number of strains, whereas a home grower is pretty limited with his six plants and only four flowering. There's also medical strains that are this isn't being talked about. I don't believe there's very much, if any, true medical strains that are being grown on the island. Typically, those are strains that have a 1-to-1 ratio of THC to CBD. That's the two.
Pretty powerful and pain relieving.
Yeah, very. You know, there are a lot of. You know, the government has actually got three patents on it as we speak. There's one that's applying for license here in the United States right now called Sativex, which is a THC and CBD. The pharmaceutical companies have been trying to patent and make drugs, synthetic drugs, from the marijuana plant. The fact that it's the plant has medical use is, I think it's just ludicrous that we're even talking about that. The problem that the government has is the potency and dosage. And that's something that comes down to moderation. I have an uncle who's a heart surgeon. He used to smoke cigars occasionally. When I asked him about it once, he said, you know, you got to do everything in moderation. Any medicine can be poison if you take too much and you don't moderate yourself. So it's important, you know, too, we're talking about a legal business that's going to be selling marijuana to 21 or older citizens who are expected to use this moderately. There's always that percentage of the population that doesn't. I don't think we should limit it to the entire population because of the percentage that can't. I think instead we should use that money towards drug rehabilitation and education. And the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about too real quick, the black market price. What's happened in all the states that have legalized so far is that the price of marijuana goes down. And it goes down pretty quickly. That's why
the legal price, or the illegal price.
The legal price,
okay.
And when it's being available in the same hours as a bar, and you have 50 different strains to choose from, you can buy it in 1 gram or 1 ounce. Something you can't do with the drug dealers and you know, the home grows. Possibly, you know, you can get a small amount, but you know that convenience over time. And the fact that I can grow it much cheaper, much safer, I'll be able to test it. Especially patients who are using it for medical use will have a clean product that has no pesticides, no molds. It's important if you're using it, if you have a underlying problem already, that you're not using something that could hurt you more if it has mold or fungus or other chemicals that have been added to it. So. There's so many things we're talking about here. It's really hard to kind of cover all this. I think we're all
sure.
Wanting to raise our hands, but these are great topics to talk about.
And we do have callers lined up as well. I'd love to get a couple of them on. Caller on line 3, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi. This is Chelsea calling.
Hi, Chelsea. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for reading my question earlier. I guess I had a second follow-up one because I'm hearing a lot about the issue of personal choice and personal use. And it seems like this idea of prohibition, of eliminating that option for people is basically making a decision for them. The same way people can choose not to drink alcohol, another legal substance for adults. You know, we have bars in town, we have liquor stores, we have beer gardens, we have all our social clubs, Elks, Moose, also serve alcohol. People can still choose not to drink. And so I guess I'm confused about why having commercial sales that will keep a product safe and regulated also provide a tax base. I'm confused about why allowing those spaces will necessarily increase that culture, I guess, if that makes sense. And, you know, because then it comes also down to the personal choice. People can choose to advocate against marijuana. That's totally their right, and I guess it just seems like right now taking options away from potential business owners, from potential utilizers of the resource, because like Gary was saying about what medical products can be for sale, we're talking about stuff like cannabis oil that can actually be help children with epilepsy, which is something that people cannot make themselves, and people who just don't have the time to grow, the same way that people can create their own alcohol but don't because it's easier for them to go downtown and buy something they know is going to taste good. It's the same reason that will keep people from growing themselves. And so I guess for me it does come down to personal choice and not taking that away from people, rather just using your own judgment and living your own life the way you choose.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, I'll give that to Doc while I get another caller on the line here. Go ahead, Doc.
I can appreciate Chelsea's view on taking away personal choice, personal rights. This isn't about that so much as it is presenting information today in this forum to allow the citizens of Petersburg, the people, not mandating what they should or shouldn't do, to quote you, but to decide whether or not they want a commercial endeavor in this borough or not. And it's the people themselves that are going to make the choice, not us in this forum, not anybody else, not any articles, not any other things that are spoken about. And I believe the people should have the opportunity to determine what they want the Petersburg borough to become.
Okay.
And these are things that we will not be able to take back one way or the other. They'll be established. So it's a freedom of choice for the voting public.
I do want to make a point, though. I think that by borough assembly or future vote, this can be changed at any time. So this isn't not necessarily a permanent thing. We could be back here in a year from now.
That is true. Things can change. But it is
6 months.
Generally hard to bring it back up again, but I see there's a lot of interest, so we'll see what the public will decide. Please, everybody, for or against, get out and vote.
Okay.
Well said.
Thank you. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Would that be me, Joe?
That is. You're on.
Hi, Joe. This is Mike Moyer. I know Grant well, and I know Doc. They're great guys, and I respect their opinions immensely. I'd just like to say that, you know, Grant's looking for information, facts. And I could tell you that I worked as a professional firefighter medic for the city of Ketchikan for 22 years. And in that 22 years, I never once, not once, transported anybody to the emergency room because of marijuana. Not once. And I don't smoke it myself. I don't use it. I know some people that do, but I can tell you that it is not the evil, a wicked thing that people want to make it out to be. It's, in fact, been in our society for a long time, and people that are very conscientious individuals in society who use or smoke marijuana are not the people, not the walking zombies that these guys are trying to portray. I also think that and that's a fact. That is a fact. 22 years. I would also like to say that I think that the city of Petersburg is not going to see, even if they had a little store downtown that was trying to sell marijuana, it's not going to see a big rush of individuals to go purchase marijuana at a little shop in town here, nor are we going to see a big influx of tourists that are going to rush in to try to purchase marijuana and walk around the zombie side streets of that these guys see coming. It's just not going to happen. In fact, the mark will probably show that a store like that won't survive in this town. Those are just my opinions, and I respect everybody else's too. So take care and have a good day.
Thanks for the call. I'm going to throw that over to Grant to respond while I get another caller on. Go ahead, Grant.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mike, here for remembering my letter in early June. When I put that into my letter, I was citing a newspaper article, an AP story, from Colorado. And in Colorado, since recreational marijuana has become more popular, which, by the way, Colorado had already endorsed and used medical marijuana before they went recreational. And they had seen a huge uptick in use on medical, and then it was even more so after the recreational. But it is not adults who go into emergency rooms. No, you fall asleep, or you just sit there with your high. No, what I'm citing in the newspaper is the increase in emergency rooms that has happened when children have eaten marijuana brownies, cookies, candy. And by the way, the evidence, which is in this book with photos, and I think we all know anecdotes pro and con, but yet this also shows that marijuana has been marketed to teenagers. It is being marketed to teenagers. And if we have that much more around, are we going to be having our own kids using that much more too? So that's still part of our personal choice issue. Because we as adults, when we think mature thoughts, that's different than when we're 12 or 13 or 14 years old, which is very common. By the way, the history about marijuana use is that when you start anywhere from 12 to 17 years of age, it does irreparable harm to your brain. It rewires your brain. And almost no one who has started using marijuana has started after the age of 21. That's the information in the book. That's why we're trying to quote facts. Thank you.
Thanks. Eric, you had a point to make.
Oh, yes. Back in the meeting that when we listened to Cynthia Franklin, like you mentioned, the director of marijuana and alcohol control, she stated that, with concern toward the youth getting hold of edibles, that there's actually the state of Alaska is much more restrictive than other states, whereas they only allow 50 milligrams limit per edible as compared to 100 milligrams per product. They have also stated that there will be no products that look like non-marijuana products, and there is no adulterating products such as spraying marijuana on a known item, so spraying marijuana on a Snickers bar or something. This is just an ability to be able to try to keep kids away from what would look like a tasty substance.
All right. Let's try to get a couple more callers in here. We only have a few minutes left, but caller on line two, do you have a question or comment? Caller on line
two. Am I on line two?
You're there. Go ahead.
Turn that off. Hey, it's Susie Burrow. I just want to make a few comments real quick. First off, whoever made the comment about the highways and the shipping, I mean, do they really suppose that the federal government has cops all over the federal highways in Colorado to pull people over? I mean, it's a simple thing that they don't want to try to regulate marijuana in a state that's legal. But my biggest thing is, and hang on, my biggest thing is that if given the opportunity to have a legal marijuana grow and a legal marijuana retail store in Petersburg, then if the borough is going to lose any money whatsoever by illegal sales, do you not suppose they're going to put more pressure on the police department to do their job in catching and getting a hold of the people who are selling illegally, which in my opinion would also, they will run into the methamphetamine and heroin dealers in this whole process too. So in my opinion, I think that in the overall picture, it would be a good thing.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Quick comment on that. I put in an email to Police Chief Kelly Swihart because I wanted to get a little of his feedback on this ballot initiative. I asked him, do you foresee your officers spending time prosecuting cases of local sales or import any more or less if prohibition is enacted? His response, which I'll read here, I don't think so, but the overall regulations are still fairly fresh. We do not know what weight the oversight agencies are going to assign to those types of violations. Violations that come to our attention will be investigated, and we will forward investigative results to prosecutors and the control board, but it will be up to those state agencies to actually address most violations. We still have a relatively young infrastructure at the state level, and significant budget challenges. I'm just not sure how things will shake out or what resources the state will be willing to allocate to address those violations. I also asked him about what he thought about the potential impact to the black market if prohibition passed or didn't pass, and he said kind of the same thing. It would be up to the state prosecution and the resources that the state would be able to put towards that in terms of what things could be prosecuted. Let's get a couple more callers in here. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yes, the previous caller said that
we're not going to have people walking around smoking it like zombies. Those zombies is ridiculous. However, I just had a friend this weekend here from Ketchikan. He owns a store down in Ketchikan where they can buy commercially, and he says the amount of people in the alley behind his store smoking has gone way up. He's having to continually tell him, you can't do that here. You can't do that here. You've got to move on. You can't do that here. So, yes, it does increase. If you sell it locally, it does increase the amount of people using it on the street.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. A couple of closing points for people. I'll try to get one more caller on here. And let's see. Let's throw this first to Doc or Grant. Make a closing argument for why people should support prohibition in the borough.
Well, I believe it would be fundamentally better for the borough. I know there's people with different opinions, but everybody is entitled to have marijuana. Everybody. And as far as the prosecution of it, it's been decriminalized, and they don't have the oversight at the district attorney's office. This is coming from the middle of my 22nd year in law enforcement, and with Bill 91, it decriminalized a lot of things. Marijuana is not going to hit high on the scales. It's just not going to be something that the state is going to spend a lot of money trying to prosecute these people that are not even at a misdemeanor level. It's a citation. And the borough, the residents of this community need to decide for themselves what they want this borough to be like. What do they want downtown to appear like? What exposure do they want to the community at this level? But it's their choice and their choice alone.
Okay, thank you very much. A quick caller on line three. Do you have a quick question or comment?
Line three?
Yep, you're on.
Yeah, okay. The only comment, I had a couple quick comments. You know, the comments earlier regarding children and consuming edibles, that is kind of the same argument you have with guns and have had for years. If their parents can't control their children and keep their stuff safe, then, you know, why do you blame the gun? Why don't you blame the person involved? And the second thing I wanted to kind of to discuss was the black market is going to exist in Petersburg regardless, I believe, even if we have a retail store. If anything, it's going to keep prices up for the black market, not having a retail store. So that's the only two comments I had.
Okay, thank you very much. And Gary, why don't you make your closing argument for why people should vote no on this?
Okay, there's some great things that have been said today. The last caller was just talking about the edibles. I think it's important we haven't really addressed this, and we're running out of time. But you know, the home grow, I actually have a little problem with the home grow. I wish that wasn't part of the law, because I think that's where kids are getting it. That and drug dealers. And my business is for 21 or older. If we were to regulate it and not allow people to grow it in their own home, kind of like we used to do with alcohol and tobacco, I think it would be much more difficult for kids to get it. They already say in surveys that kids have a harder time getting alcohol and cigarettes than they do illegal drugs. To get it out of the black market would mean, you know, legalizing it here. If I can take the profit out of it for the black market, I think we could put a big dent in it. It's not going to happen in 1 year. It'll happen in 4 or 5. But I think if we legalize this and get some revenue from it, I think it's going to be a good thing for the community.
Okay. I'll throw this over to the borough assembly members. Would you say how you're voting, and why is this a good thing for the borough to allow marijuana businesses and commercial sales in town? Eric?
Well, this is Eric Castro, and I will be voting for the commercial sale of marijuana within the borough. Because just touching on what Doc had talked about how what we want Petersburg to look like, residents want their amenities. We like our facilities. Yet we don't have any resource to pay for them except for increasing bonds and taxes to the local communities. With the imminent decrease of state and federal funding coming, both from the timber receipts to the local schools and to all sorts of state funding, this is a great opportunity and a great potential for funding for this community with benefits for all the folks in the community, whether or not they vote on it.
Okay, thanks. So I'm going to give it to Jay next and give Grant the final word.
I'll be voting no on the ballot. Gary mentioned something I think really important of the black market. Ending prohibition takes time. It took a lot of time with the end of alcohol prohibition. The black market will thrive here for a while, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Over time, bootleggers of alcohol found that their market was going away, but it took time. Same thing applies to marijuana right now. Everyone is correct. Of course, the black market isn't magically going to be gone next year. That's just not reality. But if we're patient and stick with it, we do a lot of good for the community and support legal businesses, again, instead of drug dealers.
Thank you very much. And Grant?
I'm going to stick with history. You know, even as J.S. refers to this, we can go way back because, you know, I wasn't interested in the question very much even 6 months ago. But I've learned and I've thought and I've talked to lots of people and I've read. And, you know, when alcohol was prohibited, that did not work. It turned out there was more alcohol usage at the end of prohibition than there was at the beginning. And these are human beings who are doing this, and we are human beings. And so I am citing evidence out there in the medical community and in the context of people making choices. And I would like people to examine what they think, especially when it comes to reality, not necessarily just up on our personal point of view, but also what has happened in the past. And thinking about the quality of life that we have, as well as the fact that we have a lot of things that that we can put into our bodies that are not good for us, and it includes sugars and fats and alcohol and tobacco and marijuana and other drugs. And so, I don't want to endorse taking bad things into our bodies. Use marijuana is not good for us.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a reminder, absentee voting has already started up. It started up today at 8 a.m., and you can do that at any time at the borough clerk's office. They're in the PIA building at 15 North 12th Street on the second floor, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Absentee voting is available. That runs right through noon on October 3rd, the day before the election. The election, of course, is October 4th. The polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thank you to all of my guests for coming in today and doing this great show. And thank you to all the callers. We're sorry we didn't get to everyone and everyone's comments. We hope to do another show later on this month if possible. Thank you, everyone. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg.